Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Open Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 28 and verse 29. Are we there? And one of the scribes came, and having had them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, everybody, shall we go? Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is Trinity. The Lord our God is what? I promised last Friday, when a number of brethren were asking me questions concerning Trinity as also a basis for a triumph baptism of in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And they use that scripture to support Trinity. They use another scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear witness. They use it also to support the doctrine of Trinity. And they use Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, let us make man in our. It was the Trinity that was talking. Our image. No wonder Jesus Christ said, the first commandment, he said, is the first and is the most important commandment. The first thing you must know when you come to God, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. There's a reason why he's stressing like that. That makes a difference between them and the Gentiles. The Gentiles have plenty, plenty gods. Sun God. God for fertility. God for this. God for iron God. Water God. Every God. Different, different ones. To distinguish them from this idolatrous Gentiles, he said, the first thing you must know, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God, is what? One. Amen. And when we are teaching it, we are passionate about this because it is known that the church has drifted. And God in his infinite mercy brought to us the restoration ministry. Restore us back to Bible Christianity. And so I was very excited when somebody else and a personality for that matter in this country, the former governor of Anambra State, when I read that piece in the newspaper, an open sort of letter to one of the leaders and the proponents of the Trinity doctrines, our Daddy G.O., as he's fondly called, a very respected man of God, who is also a member, given a national honor of the member of, I think it's officer of the Federal Republic, OFR, by the president. Honoring for the great work he is doing, affecting the lives of millions of people, highly respected personality. And when we speak, therefore, concerning what such personalities stand for, For which reason they are so respected, we also want to be very, very careful, because we can also be labeled by those who hold him in such high esteem as some rascals and radicals, people who are speaking against dignitaries. Having that in mind, I want to appeal to you to please know that I have nothing personal against him, because there is nothing him and I are struggling over. But we happen to come to the same ground, the Bible, the church, the ground and pillar of truth. And knowing that God is no respecter of persons, and that truth must be spoken, irrespective of whose house is God, and using the best language that I can to convey, knowing that he is known to be a very humble man, that somehow if he sees the truth, he will also carry on that humility to be humble enough to take correction. Because nobody may tell him this. And so when we had our former governor of Anambra State, Dr. Chinwoke Mbadineju, he wrote it, I immediately contacted him, because he was saying the same thing I was saying concerning the doctrine of Trinity. Praise God. And when I called him, he gladly sent me some copies. This was about 2 years ago. I distributed them to all the ministers. I expect you all have a copy each. And some members that I knew then loved to study the scriptures. I know a lot of people made requests when I spoke about it, both calling from outside. From outside. They wanted to get a copy of the pamphlet from where the extract of on that published on that Punch newspaper. I called them this evening. I called his office this evening, Mbad Viju's office, and he has promised to send copies again to me. I pray that we will get it before next Friday. Praise the Lord. He has promised to send us some copies. So, this is not me now. This is Mbadineju. So, I want to read it. That's all I will do. I will only read it. So, please, if the president is sent somewhere to give a speech and he's not able to go, he will send a representative with his speech. So when he reaches there, he will read the speech of the president, and they will report that the president said, even though it was read by a representative, but nobody will quote the representative. So please, you will quote Mbadineju. Amen. I'll read a few pages here. Then, if there's still time, anybody who is still confused, because some people don't hear well when we speak. I'm saying so because somebody will hear this now. They will go out and say, you hear what Pastor Moses talk today? I'm not talking anything, it's Mbadineju. I don't talk anything, no. Okay, now, Mbadineju is speaking. Quote, the name, Pastor, please, be attentive. The name, Pastor Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemer's Ministries, has become a household one through his aggressive evangelism. Apart from seeing him on his numerous television programs calling people to Christ and God, healing as many as should be saved, I had the first opportunity of his inviting me on his podium and shaking his hand on the stage at Awka, Anambra State. I was then governor of the state and a few years back had been founding national president of Christian Lawyers Fellowship of Nigeria, Classform, and later national legal advisor of Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. Years after repentance and membership of Pastor Paul Nwachukwu's Grace of God Mission at Onitsha, and had fellowship a few times with Pastor Ayo Orisoja for the current national president of Christian Association of Nigeria, CAN. For all those years, I loved and still love the things of God. I was the first to push signboards running from Onitsha to Benin, Onitsha to Were, Onitsha to Enugu, and other places announcing that Jesus is coming soon. And that was in 1984, the year of my repentance. And when I became governor of the state, I started doing that which I was used to doing. I initiated the popular Monday morning prayers with workers, live on radio and television and in marketplaces across the state. This has continued till today, and God has continued to bless Anambra for it. And by the grace of God, I have grown in faith and written 15 Christian books and pamphlets, which are widely read within and outside the country. So, one can say that I have grown from drinking milk of the world to eating strong meat, and therefore cannot be a babe at the same time. This brief biography is necessary so that fathers in the faith will know we are all laborers in the same Lord's vineyard, according to Paul in Galatians chapters 1 and 2. Many people have obtained life through salvation of Christ as ministered by Pastor Adeboye. Although many others had also died during crusade stampede, out of curiosity of many to have a glimpse of this apparently historic man of God. So talking as man and from the signs following Pastor Adeboye's ministry, one could say that God called him. But has God called everybody in the ministry? In the book of Jeremiah 23, verse 21, verse 26, and verse 28, God himself said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken, yet they prophesied. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. The prophet that had a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that had my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. I'm so much interested in the quoted verse which talks about the word of God. If the word which the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers speak is not the word of God, it cannot be for the purpose of perfecting the saints and for the work of the ministry or the defying of the body of Christ, as in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. In that case, both the speaker and the hearer of the word benefit nothing. And as prophet Isaiah said in his book, chapter 9, verse 16, for the leaders of these people, quote, for the leaders of these people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed, unquote. And in the book of Hosea, God warned, quote, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children, unquote. The above introduction is necessary to bring me to Pastor Adeboye's teaching on the personality of God in terms of whether God is one person or whether God is three persons. And whether our God has a name, if he does, what is his name? Pastor Adeboye is a Bible teacher and teaches how to pray too. And because he seems to be an expert in this subject, we must carefully analyze his teaching and bring it within the focus of what the Bible says. Even as Christ himself admonished that we search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In John chapter 5, verse 39. In fully appreciating Pastor Adeboye's teaching on the personality of God, we must search the scriptures rather than depend on the word of man or such doctrines which many ministers pick up from Bible schools and colleges. In Pastor Enoch Adeboye's Open Heaven series, volume 11, 2011, titled A Daily Guide to Close Fellowship with God, titled Watch Your Works, of February 22nd, 2011, he admonished his flock as follows. One, to sustain your Christian life, you must watch against the wind of false doctrine blowing across the world in these end times. Two, that some people teach that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one and the same person manifesting in different ways. Three, that some people teach that you must be baptized only in the name of Jesus Christ. That these people say there is no need to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. That another reason people move from the truth into falsehood is that while being taught the truth, they never got grounded. That if you have a half-baked knowledge of God's word, you are giving room to the enemy to fill you with false doctrines. Number seven, that if you see someone you know who was once in the truth but now preaches heresy, take to your heels. Number eight, if you try to convince a fellow to return to the truth, be very careful so that you are not swept off your feet. And number nine, that ironically, those in error claim to be the ones with the truth, and their members hold tenaciously to their error. And finally, number ten, and Pastor Adeboye finally asked, are you a victim of false doctrine? Call on the Lord to deliver you today. Run to a full gospel Bible believing church for help. And Mbadinuju continues in this paragraph on page 7. Before I comment on each of these 10 Pastor Adeboye's prayer teaching points as contained in his said monthly prayer book called Open Heavens on February 22, 2011, I want to make it known that Pastor Adeboye's doctrines on this particular subject are at variance with the doctrines of Christ and his apostles and prophets, which I took time to detail chapter by chapter and verse by verse of the scriptures, even as Christ himself enjoined us to do in John 5:39. Although it seems out of the ordinary to say that one is disagreeing with this man of God on the area of doctrines which he is supposed to be an expert, but we will see the difference when we read Pastor Adeboye's book and also read the 3 copies of my books on the Restored Church Agenda for Church Reform, in which I fully discuss the doctrines and teachings of Christ and his apostles and prophets. I allow the Bible to talk to us. But unfortunately, our pastor Adeboye did not think it important to even support anything he said with any Bible chapters and verses, as I try to do in these books. And I go down to another paragraph in the same page 8. Obviously, there will be no need for reformation and restoration if the church had not by 312 AD derailed and fallen into doctrinal errors. So we see that errors in the church did not happen today, although the church today appears to be the obstruction in the divine process of reformation and restoration. We are here saying that although reformation and restoration started a long time ago, they have not ended, but rather continuing till today. And we continue till we come to Ephesians 4:26 to 27, when the derailed and fallen church might be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word, that he, Christ, might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the great goal of the church and Christianity. Anyone hindering this goal of Christ and his church will discover that even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16 verse 18. In the introduction of my said book, Agenda for Church Reform, I stated clearly the need for the church reform and restoration, and that what we are reforming and restoring are the doctrines, teachings, and practices of the church, not preached by Christ and his apostles and prophets. Anything we say or do today that fail to conform with apostolic time and period must be false doctrines. And the church will say, why are you not answering me till I tell you to answer? Are you afraid? Martin Luther, Mbadinuju is continuing. Martin Luther started reforming the church in 1517 AD. And the process has continued till today, as the Holy Spirit has led the sons of God, as in Romans 8:14, into their ministry, as in Ephesians 4:11 and 12. When Martin Luther, in 1517 AD, began his reformation, The likes of our today's pastors and teachers at that time opposed Martin Luther, called him names, and criticized him for following every wind of doctrine. But today, Martin Luther is reckoned as one of the heroes of Christianity who withstood all deprivations, as St. Paul detailed of his own experiences in 2 Corinthians 6:3-10. Given no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watching, in fasting, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Unquote. I gave reasons for continuing reforms and restoration in the church today, insisting that at a time when nations and institutions are engaged in efforts at reforms, as in economic reform, political reforms, electoral reform, monetary system reform, and so on, is it not strange or curious that no one hears much about church or religious reforms? Or can we sincerely say that the church, as it is today, has no need for any type of reforms? It is in this connection that my books on restoration became very significant, and coming at the time when indeed there is increasing need for the present church system, doctrines or teachings, beliefs, worship and administration to be re-examined, not minding the ecumenical strong and stiff walls, as well as entrenched interests of church leaders all over the world. It is my considered view that they are not the church leaders of today that will lead the way in church reforms and restoration. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, is part of our liturgy, and it is very instructive. The Pope cannot lead the reform and restoration, nor will church leaders down the line who have managed to assume leadership at various levels of church organization. But we have already seen above from Isaiah 9:16 that the leaders of these people caused them to err, and that they are led of them, and they that are led of them are destroyed. They are the led that bear the brunt and get destroyed, and not the leaders who cause all the problems. As I said above, although some reforms were started in 1517 AD with Martin Luther and continued by John Wesley, who preached holiness, and joined by Lutherans, Baptists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Methodists, none of these divisions or denominations was able to achieve full reformation and restoration. Unless the church today reforms and restores, it may fall within the condemnation of our Lord in John 4:23 that, quote, the hour cometh and now is when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Unquote. The Lord had in verse 22 made it clear that what the people worship, they know not. We may try to exempt ourselves from those who worship what they know not, but I say unto you that all are already included, and none today is exempted, not minding which denominational church you attend. None is better than the other. That is according to Mbadiniju. And the church will say, and Mbadiniju continues, the anti-reform church leaders, like many of today's Pentecostal and establishment churches alike, argue that there is nothing wrong with the way the churches or denominations they lead function. They argue that church as an organization has made progress in evangelism and in bringing people to Christ. But bringing people to Christ does not impress God. In fact, Christ had an occasion to rebuke the scribes, Pharisees of his time, and call them hypocrites, because they compass sea and land to make one proselyte, one convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That is in Matthew 23 verse 15. Does this ring bell in Pentecostal ministries today? Will Christ not also rebuke the scribes and Pharisees of today in our churches as he did in Matthew 23:15? So God prefers that as a pastor or a Christian that you are well rooted in the doctrines of Christ and his apostles before you start evangelism to win souls for him, Christ. And that is why St. Paul admonished good training and grounding in the knowledge of God and how best he could run the Christian race set before him, lest that by any means, when he has preached to others, he himself should be a castaway. Is it not possible that most, if not majority of our preachers and church leaders today will be a castaway after they have taught others? See 1 Corinthians 9:27. There is no doubt that Christianity of today has remained perverted as it was by 312 AD. During the period we call the Dark Age. And not to continue church reformation and restoration would amount to disservice to God. The attitude of denominational churches that certain things they do wrongly did not matter is unfortunate. And trying to sweep things under the carpet and postponing the evil day have become the norm in the denominational churches. For example, in baptism, which is one of the most important doctrines of the Church of the Pentecost, the denominations today tend to trivialize it. For them, it does not matter if one is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or one is baptized in the name of Jesus, or a third method being to baptize using both names, that is, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Many churches combine the names so that if it is not one, then it must be the other. And this is because of their unbelief. In spite of Matthew 28, verse 19, all the baptism done by the apostles were done in the name of Jesus. Which is what Matthew 28, 19 says. The disciples, having known that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are functions of one God, whose name in this church age is Jesus. And the church will say, and Mbadiniju continue. Sorry, Mbadiniju is preaching to us tonight. And Mbadiniju continue. No baptism is acceptable except it is done in the name of Jesus, as in, are you ready to write? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Acts chapter 8, verse 16. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. Shall I repeat it? Eh? If you don't write fast, some of you cannot be in a university lecture hall where a hungry lecturer is teaching. Because then they vex. No, if you like, catch it. If you like, don't catch. Let me repeat. He quotes Acts 2:38, Acts 4 verse 12, Acts 4 verse 18, Acts 5:42, Acts 8 verse 12, Acts 8 verse 16, Acts 10 verse 48, and Acts 19 verse 5. He added, you may also see Luke 24 verse 46 to 47, Romans chapter 6 verse 3, Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, verse 15, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. He continues, I challenge Pastor Adeboye or any of his associates to show me in the Bible where any baptism was ever done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. No one can find that practice in the Bible. Rather, all baptisms were in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is not in baptism only, but the name also is used to end all prayers made to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. See John 16 verse 23, which says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Again, Colossians 3:17 makes it clear that whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It will amount to apostasy for any Christian to abandon or depart from the doctrine or teachings of Christ and his apostles. Because as the Bible says, the church is built on the foundation of apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, as Ephesians 2:20. Even St. Paul went further to curse anyone who departed from the apostles' doctrine or teaching. He said in Galatians 1:8-9 that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, Paul again said, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The same St. Paul, in 1 Timothy 4:16, made it clear that doctrine saves as against some denominations. We teach that doctrine does not save, and that what matters is believing in Jesus Christ. But we even know from the Bible that calling him Lord, Lord, will not save anyone, nor make someone enter. See Matthew 7:21. Paul wrote the church saying, take it unto yourself, unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, that is the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing that, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul again wrote that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So these modern Christian preachers and teachers must tell us where their own modern Bible tells them that apostolic doctrine and teachings divide rather than unite brethren in denominations. By the way, it is because of false doctrine that we have denominations. Otherwise, in the beginning, it was not so. There were no denominations, but one church, one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Ephesians 4:3-6. Denomination means division. And where there is division, there is no spirit of God. Denominational or divided churches today are not part of what Christ or his apostles and prophets taught. Contention and divisions in denominations are condemned in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 1:10-15. Indeed, another name for denomination is division and contention. And the angel said, come out of her, my people, and be you separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. The only name the devil fears is the name of Jesus. See Acts 4:14-16, 16, 17, and 18 up to 30. Acts chapter 4. And he laughs at Christians when they baptize and end their prayers in the Trinitarian formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know what he means now? You know what he means? When you pray, finish. See what they will do. When you pray, finish. When they say, let us pray, they stand up in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everybody will say, amen. And when they finish, all they have made their petition, then we make this prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, he's saying that he laughs at Christians when they baptize and end their prayers in the Trinitarian formula of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The only name that disturbs and distracts and defeats the devil and makes him tremble is the name of Jesus. At the church we say, somebody shout, Lord Jesus. Say very loud.